Good morning, everybody. I'll tell you what, that there's something about song and music. It was incredible Wednesday, it was just a great time. Hopefully you guys didn't make it again next year. Coop, I got to ask you, this is probably my ignorance in my of music, but did you write that song?
No, but I
agree. Okay, all right. He writes some music now, and I've heard it. They're pretty good, so. Okay, got it. So thank you for that. It was awesome. So we are blessed with some great musicians here, and it just, you know, music just gives so much color and flavor to just our worship. And there's many ways to worship, but I just love that we are just gifted with so many musicians. Michael and Rick and everybody who's helped him is just for this Advent is just wonderful. So you can open your Bibles to Luke chapter 2. We're still in chapter 2. This is, of course, our last sermon for this series, For Christmas Comes. It's next week, in case you guys don't know. It's next week. It really is. It's coming right up on you. And about this time of the year, the days are short, and so is the amount of time that you realize you have before you got to get your shopping done before Christmas gets here. It's... For some people, though, this time of year goes by so fast. Everything's just a buzz, right? It's hard to kind of stop and remember why we're celebrating Christmas in the first place. And for some people, it's through trials or struggles, and we've talked about, and you know that some people just this time of year is hard for them to try to find Christmas, trying to find that gift. What sometimes described as the spirit of Christmas, but we know that spirit is Christ. Well, today we're going to talk about a person who was able to identify Christmas, Christ, right away. And it's a man named Simeon. I thought about just because of today, and of course, the title of today's series is Simeon's Song. We're looking at this series about the different songs of Christmas, and today's Simeon's Song. But I thought about titling it How to Find Christmas. And that's what we're going to look at today, is how do you find Christmas and all the hustle and bustle and all the things that distract us every year from celebrating this wonderful joy of the gift we got in Christ. How would we find Christmas? And we're going to look at how Simeon did it as well. So if you'll stand with me, with your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 2. We're going to start in verse 22. So when the time came for the purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all the peoples, a light for the revelation of the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. And his father's mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. Let's pray. Dear Father, I thank you, Lord, for today. I thank you for all that you brought here to worship with us as we focus on your word. I pray, Father, that as we've worshipped in song, we have worshipped you in our giving, that now this morning, Father, we'll worship you in your word. Be with us, Father, and guide us. Help us this morning to find you in this message as we search for you in this season. Help me to speak only your truth and nothing else. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Be seated. So as we look at this story, this small segment of here that Luke included into his letter about Simeon, There's a couple of things, and of course it also would be great advice on how to find that perfect gift, and we can see how the same advice we hear for how Simeon found that perfect gift. Well, I think the first thing is you know where to look. And we sort of see this develop here in this story of Simeon as we just get this information about what took place, but it's kind of small. You have to sort of stop and take a moment and put yourself in that context. But I read this story about this interaction where Simeon met Christ and identified Christ, thinking about this week, and I sort of stepped into there. I'm thinking, well, man, I wonder what it would have been like if I was talking to Simeon. I mean, he'd waited his whole life for this moment to find the Christ, and I was trying to get myself in the context of that time and understand clearly what was taking place in this the miracle of him identifying Christ. And I thought about what would have been like to have been there and talking to Simeon. And I got to tell you, it was not a bad thing to think about, but when I looked at this, I was trying to find details of how he identified who Christ was. And what I came across is if I was talking to him, I think surely he would have said something about, you're not going to believe what happened today. I going about my normal daily routine, and in here comes in the Messiah, right? Now, I would have been asking, well, wow, Simeon, you're obviously a very righteous and devout man. What makes you think that was the Messiah? And he says, well, you mean he was a baby? And in fact, during this time, depending on how you count the days, he was about 40 days old. He was a little bitty baby, right? So Simeon, why do you think that baby, you can't question the child, there's nothing, what was about that baby that made you think that's the Messiah, that's the Christ? Perhaps it was his parents, right? What was it about his parents that maybe led you in? Well, no, it was just a young couple from Nazareth. Nazareth, you say? Well, we know about Nazareth. We've heard about Nazareth later on. We read later on where Philip was talking to Nathanael. And what did Nathanael say? Is there anything good could come out of Nazareth? So perhaps that would have been my response. Here's this baby you can't talk to. His parents are from Nazareth. Well, all right. Well, I believe you, Simeon. Maybe it was this must have been the most perfect offering ever, and this must have been the most the best sacrificial lamb you have ever seen. And Simeon would have said, well, no, it was actually there was no lamb. Must have been poor, because in Levitical law, it could have, if it was too poor to offer a lamb, they could offer two turtle doves or two pigeons, and we see that's what happened. So the Messiah, the Christ, the one God had promised and long and waited for, there's no sacrificial lamb. Simeon, no, there's no lamb. So at this point, I believe I'd be saying, Simeon, brother, there's got to be something. How in the world do you know that is the Christ? And see, when you look at this story and the events that surrounded this introduction of Simeon and Jesus, what we find out is, humanly speaking, Jesus was just an ordinary baby. And it was just an ordinary day. Simeon comes in. He sees this young couple walk in with this child, and somehow he knew that was the Christ. This child born in poverty, not from some elitist family, if you will. Now, of course, we can look at Scripture and see that he was in the line of David like it was prophesied, but there would have been no visual indicators, if you will. This was some elitist family, just some poor family. The man, the father's a carpenter. They're coming in. He's just a regular baby. What we stop and are reminded of in this story as it unfolds is that when we say God stepped into humanity, that's not a metaphor. Amen. It's not allegory. He stepped into humanity as an infant, as a child. So he walked with us. But that takes us back to the question, how is it that Simeon recognized Jesus as the Christ, knowing that this child, there's no physical indicators, if you will, how did Simeon know that Jesus was the Christ? Well, we don't know a whole lot about Simeon, but Luke added exactly what we needed to know, and obviously inspired by the Holy Spirit, he told us exactly what we needed to know about Simeon. We see there in verse 25, now, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And what do we hear about him? Well, Luke tells us that he was a righteous and devout man. So we know that means that he is righteous and devout. He is that we know nobody is really righteous. It's talking about his lifestyle. He wants to he's searching after God. He wants to please God. Something all of us should have in our life. We want to live a righteous life. And he's devout. He's devoted. It also says in there, as we read, that he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. Israel was under Roman rule at this time. So this really doesn't have him stand out. I mean, everybody was probably waiting for the consolation of Israel right about now. Amen? Everybody wanted to get... I mean, they were waiting for that time where this our nation of Israel can rise to the forefront and we'll have a king take the throne that will never end. They're all waiting for the consolation of Israel. So those two things are definitely descriptive of Simeon, but probably not all that unique. Until we get to the last thing, we see that he was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And I think that is the one thing that set him out among everybody else. And that is how he is able to see this child walk in, being held by this young couple, and know that's the Messiah. That's the one we've been waiting for this whole time. It's because he was, the Holy Spirit was upon him. And that's the life we should live. I mean, so when we think about our own life, how do we live? We understand that this was the indicator about Simeon that you know, Luke added this in there for a reason. He told us just enough about Simeon that we needed to know, and he ended up, I think the pinnacle was that part right there, is that he had the Holy Spirit upon him. And we know it's important because it's repeated three times. It says the Holy Spirit was upon him. Then 26, had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And again, in the very next verse, and he carried the Spirit into the temple. So we see that this was a part of that lifestyle that Simeon had. That he was in the Spirit, he listened to the Spirit, he was guided by the Spirit, and made all the difference in the world. So another part of that is, we shouldn't see that this was the big day. So in verse 25, we see this is a description of Simeon's lifestyle. He didn't wake up one day and say, well, it's a big day. Let me do a little bit more of my devotions, do a little bit more prayer, because I'm going to go to the temple and meet Christ today. That wasn't. He just walked in as a regular day. So what we have in this description is day in and day out, Simeon lived this life of this personal communion with God through his Spirit. And that's what made him different. Now, certainly God chose to reveal to Simeon he would see the Christ. That's God's prerogative. So it doesn't mean if we're devout, God's going to do these things. But I am saying that if we are in the Spirit and we are searching the Spirit, that daily kind of communion is, it opens us up to God doing those kind of things and us seeing God at work in the world. And that's what we see this description of Simeon. So what was the result of Simeon's Spirit-filled life? Well, one, we know that he listened to God. He heard from God. We see that God chose to reveal that one day he would see the Christ. And thirdly, we understand that as soon as he saw this child coming in from the humble beginnings, he knew this was the Christ. This was the long-awaited Messiah. So what do we take away from this? What do you think if we consider Simeon for just a moment? I'll ask you a question. How many times during your day, if you think about how often, let's put it this way, how often do you think you miss seeing God at work because you're more consumed with the world instead of focused on the Spirit? Think about that. In fact, I'd like you to bear with me for a moment. Kind of get old school here. But if you will, just close your eyes for a second. Everybody close your eyes. It's going to take a second. I want you to just close your eyes just for a moment. I want you to just kind of think about this. Think about your daily life. Think about the people that are in your life day in and day out, the people you have communications with. And I want you to ask yourself right now, where is God at work in your life right now? Is there a person in your life that God is leading? Can you see Christ in your life? Can you open your eyes? So if you closed your eyes and you said, yep, I know where God's at work, well, then you know what you have to do. You know what your appointment is. You know why God, the work God has you to do is to go to that person and share Christ with them or pray with them or whatever it is that God has. That's what he has for you. But if you close your eyes just now and you thought, I don't have anybody, I don't know. Well, you have to ask yourself, why is that? Is that because you are so consumed with the world? Maybe this time of year, maybe whatever your schedule, whatever it is, or whatever is consuming your thoughts, is it because you are not focused on God as you should be? Because God's at work everywhere around us, amen? And I don't do that to condemn you. The reason I bring that up is what we call this, you know, that this exercise, if you will, that we just sort of went through, what we also call that prayer. And that is what you can do this time of year if you are looking for Christmas, if you will. If you're looking for that gift, you're looking for God to work around you, that exercise we just did, that prayer we just did, is something you could and should do every single day before you start your day. Take a few moments to get with the Lord in the Spirit and say, Lord, where are you at work today? And where can I join you? If you want to have the ability, just like Simeon, to see Christ in your world, in your day-to-day life, that's how it's done. If you want to be in the Spirit, if you want to learn from the Spirit and be guided by the Spirit, just as we see Simeon did. If you want to be able to look in the world and see something nobody else can see, just as Simeon did, that's how it's done. You're guided by the Spirit, just like Simeon was. And how do you do that? You do that by daily living your life and starting your day, Lord, where are you at work around me? And secondly, can you show me how to join you at your work? Well, the second thing is, first we know what we're looking for. We where to look. We look through the Spirit. We look to God and His Spirit for guidance. Secondly, is we know what to look for. We see that Simeon searched. When he looked at this, not only did he see Christ and recognize Christ, but he knew who Christ was. He knew what he was looking for because he knew who Christ was. And as we look for God at work and Christ in our world and around us and the people we come in contact with, do we know what we're looking for? Do we understand what the kind of work Christ will be doing in the world? Well, we have added for us, Luke adds this words of Simeon that is descriptive of Christ and his work. First, we see that Jesus, that will be the question, who is Jesus? I think in your notes, that's what I listed under, who is Jesus? First thing we see, Jesus is the Lord's salvation. He is the Lord's salvation. And of course, we know, as good Bible students, this takes his identity of Christ as the Lord's salvation all the way back to the beginning. All the way back to where we see the fall take place in the Garden of Eden. And there's this separation between us and God. And God makes this promise. He's going to offer salvation. Salvation from what? Well, salvation from eternity in hell, which is what awaits everyone who doesn't accept this gift of Christ. Eternity in hell. It's also what awaits those around you, that when you're praying, saying, God, who would you send me to today? Well, those people in your life, whether it's the gas station, the supermarket next to you, you know, the cubicle over, or if you're on the assembly line, the one that's the spot before you, I mean, whatever it is, I mean, this person, if they don't have Christ, is going to go to hell while we sit here as Christians enjoying our Christmas and celebrate the birth of a Savior. There are people around us that don't have that salvation, and that means they have a grim eternity. They may have a great Christmas. They may have a better Christmas than you, but their eternity isn't that way. So when he says Jesus, about the Christ, when he says, for my eyes have seen your salvation, we know that's what he's talking about. It's a very serious thing. He also says that your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all the peoples. See, God is not at work behind the scenes. There are things God does that we don't understand. He doesn't reveal to us because we don't need to know, and probably because we couldn't understand it if he did reveal it to us. But he's also at work right in front of us. Jesus didn't hide who he was, and we shouldn't hide who Jesus is. Now, I'm not saying we get into the sort of battle the media likes to box us into where we're fighting about what's on a coffee cup. I'm not talking about that. But I'm saying we should be out in the open about why we celebrate Christmas and why what we think the meaning of Christmas is. We perfectly understand that the world doesn't see it the way we do. And we absolutely understand that the world is misguided about all the different traditions of this is the most important thing in Christmas. Of course, they're going to see it differently. They're not seeing through the Spirit. We shouldn't expect the world to think as Christians think. Amen? Because they're not Christians. So we should just understand, like, look, we're just going to take the truth. We're not going to bring condemnation. We're going to bring the truth. We're going to say, this is why I celebrate Christmas. And this is the hope that is in store for you if you accept Jesus Christ. And this is why Christ came. We have a beautiful message that God did out in front of everybody. And if you are disciplined enough to read your Bible, as you should be, you're going to know the story. And you'll be able to share to him, this is what took place. Why do you believe? Well, this is why I believe, because I read this and this is what happened. And this is what the Bible says, and I think the Bible is true. And this is what it says Jesus is. It says he is the salvation, he is the Christ. And he is being prepared in the presence of all the people. Next he says Jesus is the light of revelation to the Gentiles. Praise God for that. Because I'm a Gentile. I don't know about all of you, but most of you may be Gentiles, right? And what does that mean? He's a light of revelation to the Gentiles. What it's saying is there was thousands of years, all this different time. So God came into the world. He made this promise. He had his chosen people, these Jewish people. And then here was his chosen people and everybody else. They had the word. They had the promise. But if God didn't complete his promise and bring Christ into the world and bring on the Holy Spirit, all of us who are not of Israel, of the nation of Israel, are still on the outside. But God grafted us in, that we now have that promise. And then the light of the promise means we can look to Christ and say, Christ is the inclusion for me into God's promise of eternal glory in heaven. So therefore, that's why Simeon said, he is the light for the Gentiles. He guides us and gives us the way. How can we be right with God? What will guide our path that is in the world on the way to hell? What would guide that path back unto truth to God? Well, who's going to guide us back to that path? It's Christ. When you look to Christ, when you see this child, Christ, who will grow up to give his life for everyone, that will guide you back to God. So for the Gentiles, he is the light of salvation. Jesus is also the light for revelation to the Gentiles. Oops, back up. Jesus is the glory of the people of Israel. So that Israel already had the word. They had the truth, they had the word, they had the law, and now they see that Jesus is a glory of the nation of Israel. Jesus was from the nation of Israel. This is where he came from. Incidentally, when we see in the news all these things that are happening in Israel and to the Jewish people, you should stop and pray, because that is God's chosen people. They are our brothers and sisters. And they may not even most of them understand and believe who Christ is today, now. That doesn't change the fact that this is God's chosen people and we need to pray for that nation. When you see things happen to the nation of Israel, we should take it seriously if you believe what is in this word. Now, even though they don't celebrate Christmas as we do, we still pray for them because we believe God's word is true. And Jesus is the glory, as is said in here, he is the glory of the people of Israel. Well, lastly, as I made in my notes anyway, it says Jesus is for the fall and rise of many in Israel. Jesus would become the one who would just tear down the status quo, right? That is the dividing line in that culture of people, and even in today, Jesus will divide everything. And those that they thought were high up in status, Jesus showing us that they actually are low. And those that he was constantly going to the lowest people of their culture and raising them up and saying, this is my chosen, this is the person I chose to give my grace to and my peace to. And just Jesus separates everything away from the way we see this, the whole lifestyle and the way we see the world and the way we try, the world tries to define the value of people. Jesus changes all of that. We understand that we find value only in Christ is where we find our value. So these are the things that not only was Simeon able to identify who Jesus was, the Christ, he also was able to say, this is what it means. This is what Christ will accomplish. So as we look for Christ in the world around us, we're also understanding this is what God, this is what he's going to be doing. We don't look for those who are maybe like this person in my life, in my day-to-day life, this is the person I feel comfortable with. This is the surely God would want to save this person. They would fit very nicely in our church. I know exactly where they would serve. Well, that's not at all the way we should do that, amen? It may be the person that you pass every day, and maybe the reason you can't think of them is because you don't even really register that they're in your world. Maybe it's that person. It may be the least likely person you can think of. That is the one that is in your world, is in your life, that God is sending you to share Christ. In terms of this time of year, that is the person who God is sending you to reveal Christmas to them. If you want to phrase it in the seasonal kind of terminology. I think as we look at this last song, I think what the struggle is and what the challenge is for us is to be more like Simeon. If you truly want to enjoy and appreciate Christmas, if you truly want to say, I know what the reason of Christmas really is, not in just words, but in my deeds, I think we should all struggle to be more like Simeon, to live that Holy Spirit-centered, focused life that drives us, it directs us, and it guides us, and the Spirit identifies for us what God is doing in our world around us. Because we know God is constantly at work around us. So can that be my challenge for you today before we close? Can I ask you, will you commit to taking some time each day to stop and close your eyes and say, Lord, where are you at work? What would you have me to do? And if you're here this morning and Christmas is like blowing by you, maybe that's where you are. Maybe you're here this morning and Christmas has just shot by me. I can't believe it's almost here. It's going to be over. I can't even enjoy and appreciate it. Maybe it's because you've just been so busy. Maybe it's because you have some pains and struggles this year that are hard to overcome. If that is true, whatever the reason, that you just really aren't into Christmas this year, can I invite you to find Christmas in God through His Spirit, to stop where you are, just take a moment, just take a breath, even this morning. If you come, we're gonna sing a song, and you're more welcome to come up and pray. And take that moment that you have with the Lord right here. I'll pray with you, or you can pray by yourself on the side. But do not let this celebration that we have a chance to celebrate the birth of Christ once a year, don't let it just pass you by with the pain and agony or the suffering or just the busy schedule again. Don't let us just be commercialized Christmas like the rest of the world, because we know the truth. We understand what that gift is about. So will you find Christ this morning? There was a gift that was given. It was brought into this world. As Gretchen said, one day we know the reason he was here and the gift he ultimately gave was his life. But it started off with this gift coming to the world as an infant. That is why we celebrate Christmas. Now, you all have heard that. I know you've heard it a million times. But what I'm saying is, right now, can we stop and appreciate and enjoy it? Not just this moment, but throughout every single day that we live, as Simeon did, this Spirit-filled life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for this precious word. Lord, this week we will have our brothers and sisters travel to different places, some far and some will travel near. We'll go about routines, we'll visit friends and family. There's so many things that will take place in this week. Father, I pray for all of my brothers and sisters that this season will remain about you, not because we have rejected you, but the world is so much pressure that the world brings in to try to take over Christmas. Give us the clarity, Father, to stay focused on you. Help us to just, in our thoughts and our minds and our practices of what we do, that we just keep you at the very forefront. And we worship you continually, Lord. Father, for those who find this time of year a struggle, and for them, I pray for peace. I pray, as Elder Rick spoke of, that joy, that they find that joy that is only found in you, that true joy that comes from you. Finally, Father, I pray that you will reveal to each and every one of us where you are at work around us. And you will empower, enable us to give the most precious gift this year that could be given, and that is your Son, Jesus Christ. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Would you please stand?